T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joined right now by the best NFL analyst in America from ESPN, a Steelers Super Bowl champion, the great Ryan Clark, who also is a very proud LSU alum. And he thought, just like, have you seen The Godfather? Any of The Godfather movies, Jason?
Do I have to answer that honestly? I should lie and tell you that I have, and I love them.
Donnie,
I've never
have you seen any
them.
Of The Godfather movies?
Yeah, I've seen the first two.
So the third one, right when you... Right when I leave, I get sucked back in. You pull me right back in, right?
Oh yeah, that whole thing. Well, yeah, that's also that one scene in Sopranos too.
Yeah,
just
so
when I thought I was out.
So
they
Ryan
pulled me back
thought
in.
He was only going to have to put up with Matt Canada for 1 year at LSU, and then Matt Canada becomes the Steelers' offensive coordinator. Offense not good. All right, one and done. Not so fast. Mike Tomlin optimistic, and thinks that Matt Canada brings some attractive things to the table. Ryan, what do you think those attractive things are with Matt Canada's offense? What are they?
I don't know. Am I supposed to know? I think I'm supposed to know, but I don't know. I think every offense can work if executed correctly. I believe, you know, Matt Canada's motion package isn't much different than what we saw from Sean McVay in kind of the heyday of the Los Angeles Rams run game. I think he has some principles of that as well. It seemed to have adapted itself to be a little more vertical than it was at Pitt and LSU. I don't think he's a bad play caller, but we also necessarily haven't seen him with a quarterback that can be mobile enough in the pocket to create time, an offensive line that protects in a way to give time. And so in that, you don't necessarily get to see a package evolve or a route tree be different. And so I think everything had to be, you know, quick and out of Ben's hands a little faster than you would have liked. And so maybe Coach Tomlin understands some of the limitations this offense was faced with, and feels like maybe with the right pieces, Matt Canada could do a good job with it.
Do you think Mason Rudolph and or Dwayne Haskins can be that right piece?
I don't know. You know, from what you've seen from the NFL film,
yep.
No. Just to be honest, if you're taking both of these guys out of college, you look at them and say, yeah, they have some of the tools. We've seen some of the measurables and the metrics that say they can be successful. But when you watch them on the pro level, neither one of these guys looked like good starting quarterbacks. I'm not asking them to be great, but neither one of these guys tell you they could be Kirk Cousins, right? And I use Kirk Cousins as kind of my baseline, because Kirk Cousins is one of those guys that's plenty good enough to win games with. You don't often win games because of. And you rarely say it's only him when they lose. But I don't know if Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins are even that.
Ryan, I wanted to ask you a question from a former player's perspective, and it has to do with continuity. And maybe it has to do with Matt Canada on the offensive side or having some of those same schemes in, but more on the defensive side if they go with Terrell Austin to replace Keith Butler or whatever. You know, what does that mean as a player? How helpful is that? How do you see that sort of thing, keeping the same things around, helping a team?
Well, you know, I was blessed to play with Coach LeBeau for my entire 8 years. There's no more consistent and, you know, and continuity type situation than what I had. And, you know, so it didn't really matter who the DB coach was. The overall plan was the same. I think Coach Tomlin likes the plan. I think he likes the fact that you don't have to learn new systems. I also don't believe he wants a new system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he feels like the system is the problem, especially when you've seen the system be successful, right? And, you know that the play calls, you know that the scheme, that those things can work. And so I think you don't feel necessarily the need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so that's what kind of makes continuity okay, because if you're not bringing in a coach who is necessarily from that tree, they may want to revamp and change a ton of things. And I think Coach Tomlin is comfortable with the fact that, you know, this team's, you know, whether you hate him or love him, like, he just hasn't had a losing record.
Yep.
You know, you can be mad about it, or you can point to the playoff record, and I get all those things. But still, the one thing we can't ever call Coach Tomlin or the team under him is losers. And so I just think that continuity is what he's comfortable with. That consistency is what he's comfortable with. And I also believe that Coach Tomlin is about trust and loyalty. And I think when you see people work in your building every day, those are the people you want to elevate to new positions. Those are the people you want to show that hard work is valued, I guess, rather than going outside and bringing in other people, kind of, you know, like we did with Coach Haley.
Ryan, I think what you started with your answer there about LeBeau, it's so interesting thinking about that era of Steelers football compared to now, because LeBeau was so revered, most respected defensive coordinator in the NFL. You guys, if he told you to run through a brick wall, you would. Whatever cliche you want to apply to describe a great leader of men, right? And so he was the defensive coordinator. Tomlin respected that. LeBeau was in charge of the defense. Now there's a defensive coordinator, but Tomlin calls the plays. And so, you know, can it go back to the way it was with you guys, where he would say, you know, what's best for the team right now is for me to be more of a CEO coach and have a defensive coordinator that did what Dick LeBeau used to do?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen coaches, you know, take steps back in certain situations. And, you know, I think they do that sometime when they feel the delegation side of the job has gotten more difficult because the play calling part of the job has taken precedent, or the schematic part of the job has taken precedent, and they need to be able to make sure the decisions are being made the right way. But I don't necessarily believe Coach Tomlin, because of his involvement with the defense, has made a lot of situational and clock management errors.
Okay.
You know, he's not Mike McCarthy. and so normally when people take a step back, it's not that the play calling isn't working, it's that they feel like they need to focus on more of the other things because those things are slipping. We watched Matt Nagy hand over play calling duties in Chicago to Bill Lazor. You know, and in that situation, I think the development of the young quarterback was important, but we also saw that when he had Mitchell Trubisky. So I think that can happen for a number of reasons, but it truly just depends on the individual.
Ryan, how do you see this secondary shaping out next season? Do you feel like that's going to be a strength of the team?
Well, they got free agents. Hayden, Witherspoon.
That's what I mean. There's potentially a lot of stuff.
Minka wants a huge deal.
I think Joe Hayden, I think he'll be going into what, year 14, 13? I'm not sure what year he'll be going into.
2010 is his rookie year, so I'm not good at math, but double digits.
Oh, so that'd be like 12, yeah. You know, so I think with – or 13. I think with him, you know, you want to – you bring him back for a price and you understand what his role will be. You know, that maybe Joe Hayden isn't your every down left corner, but he's your nickel corner. You know, kind of the moves you saw a Deshae Townsend begin to make as the Ike Taylors and the Brian McFaddens and those guys became more prevalent, the William Gays on the defense. In my estimation, I thought Witherspoon showed himself enough that he should be a guy you look to re-sign. Obviously, you have to, you know, deal with Minka's deal as well at some point. I'm not sure where Sutton is in his contract, but I think if you make the right moves, add some of the right pieces, I can't think of his name right offhand. I think it's Norwood, 21.
Yep.
I think he can be a very good player. Also seems extremely versatile. You know, a guy you can plug in, play some safety, also play some nickel. And so I think there are some pieces on the back end where this team can be good.
Yep.
Other than Minka, I don't see a spot where currently they're great.
Well, that's what you know. Yeah, Ryan, I'm trying to square that away with them because T.J. Watt's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. There's, like, no debate, and there shouldn't be about it with the type of year he had. But I'm thinking to myself, they had the best defensive player in the league this year. You know, I guess my apologies to Aaron Donald's family listening in Penn Hills right now. The dude's a monster. But they had this great defensive player, and yet they still had a kind of a bad defense, definitely a bad run defense. So
yeah, I mean, T.J. Watt's absolutely phenomenal. Cam Hayward is a all-pro, period. Cam Hayward's a future Hall of Famer. You know, argue with your mama. I don't care. And so you would expect the defense to be better, but they weren't good at linebacker either. You know, last I checked, you had to be good there. I thought strong safety was give or take some days. Some days I thought he played well. Others I didn't necessarily think, you know, he showed up in the way that he needed to. And the one difference between Aaron Donald and T.J. Watt is the four sacks T.J. Watt got against the Cleveland Browns. They slid the line of scrimmage away from T.J. Watt and left him singled up on a young player.
Yep.
That don't happen with Aaron Donald, bro. Aaron Donald has Von Miller and Leonard Floyd and Corey Gaines on his team. They ain't singling up Aaron Donald, bro. You know, and so where T.J. Watt made a huge impact, he's without a doubt the defensive player of the year. He's a top three defender in the league. I think some of the disrespect shown toward him is why you get the plays that he made. But he's an absolute star. And when you get 22 and a half sacks, you figure that that fares differently for your team. But we have to remember how that was when Michael Strahan did the exact same thing.
Yeah, that Giants team sucked. They were not very good.
It was not good.
No. How would you feel if you're a veteran player, you're in your, you know, your latter years with the Steelers, and they're going to use a first-round pick on a quarterback? That seems to be what the buzz is right now. There's going to be a young guy who's going to come in and at 22 or 23-year-old step in and be the starting quarterback. Would that excite you, knowing that it's not the first overall pick like Joe Burrow, Ryan? Like, how would you feel as a veteran Steeler? You're Cam Hayward. You're still trying to find your first Super Bowl ring. And that's what's on the table.
Joe Burrow is not in this draft.
Nope.
That's the first thing. You know, that's the first problem. And I think what you'll try to convince yourself of is that you won 8 games with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. And that if this guy is maybe Mac Jones, it makes you a playoff contender. That's the hope. That's what you can wish for. But with a rookie quarterback, you never know. You could get Mac Jones, Herbert, or you could get Trey Lance.
Ugh. Who barely played and didn't really do much this year.
Scares me that there's no Joe Burrow in this draft.
Yeah, tell me about it. We're talking to Ryan Clark. Ryan, we talked to you a few weeks ago, and you were, you know, very bullish on Derek Carr, and we'll wait to see what happens with him with the Raiders, the interim coach debate there, maybe Jim Harbaugh. Did you change your opinion at all of him with what happened at the end of the Bengals game? I'm curious. With the spike, throwing short of the end zone, fourth quarter, it was Derek Carr's first playoff game. What did you make of his performance, and what do you think of him moving forward?
Tom Brady thought there was 5 downs in the game.
Yes, he did against the Bears. That did happen. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, I think people can always, you know, it's like a relationship, bro. If you're looking for someone to be 100% what you expect them or want them to be every day, you're going to be single for a very long time, right? What you're looking for in Derek Carr is the totality and the holistic view of what he did this year with that team. And I thought he was absolutely amazing. And, yeah, we can point to, for sure, the spike when I think you throw a ball in the end zone on first down. You could point to throwing the ball short on fourth down. We can also point to the fact that he was sacked and he throws a howitzer to Darren Waller in the slot on the next play to get a first down for 17 yards. You know, or the fact that the last 4 weeks they were in playoff games and he showed up big in every fourth quarter. Or the fact that you think he ain't better than Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins. You know, and so I think we could nitpick any quarterback, but Derek Carr would be a significant upgrade, not only over what's still on the roster, but the, you know, future first ballot Hall of Famer who is possibly or probably retiring soon here.
I would take Derek Carr in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Ryan, you know, one of the guys who I thought for about 10 or 11 games I was really high on and excited about his future, and then the last five or six really soured me, is Diontae Johnson. You know, just
I knew it was coming.
I mean, you knew that was coming with him, or you knew that I was talking about him when I started my
question? I knew who you were talking about.
Yeah. And they got to make a decision on, do we pay this guy like a number one wide receiver this offseason? And my answer right now is no.
The answer should be hell no.
Yeah.
The answer should be hell no. The answer should be that he should be compensated well, right? He should be compensated in the way that a productive wide receiver is compensated. But it should be incentive laden if it's ever going to get to number one type status. And I don't think there should be enough reachable incentives that gets him to be number one status. That's just my opinion. I think he's a number two. He's not Jamar Chase. He's not Justin Jefferson. I'm not even going to mention names like Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins. But he's nowhere near those guys. You know, and being nowhere near those guys, you can't put him even in the conversation for that level of money. But he definitely is a guy that you re-sign. I think he's extremely talented. You know, honestly, I think he's a better wide receiver than Juju Smith-Schuster. That's my opinion. You know, so I think if it's possible to re-sign him for the correct dollar amount, you do. But you don't break the bank, and you don't even discuss number one money with him. You don't discuss 2012 number one money with Diontae Johnson.
How about Juju then? Is there a price that makes sense for bringing him back, you think? Is there an intangible or toughness quotient with Juju?
I mean, there's an intangible, but what is, you know, like, other than the years with AB, when has Juju ever shown you he can be productive?
He hasn't.
Right?
He
had like, a ton and can be just not, like, he's just a guy. Like, he truly is. And, like, you know, I think we point to Hines Ward. We forget Hines Ward was, what, a four-time Pro Bowler. You know, Hines Ward was a 100-catch guy and then did all the other stuff much better than every other wide receiver in the NFL on a team that, by the way, ran the ball at the highest clip in the league, highly based on his ability to block. You know, and so I think that all those things have to be taken into consideration. And even then, Hines was only compensated kind of like a really good receiver, not one of the best in the league. And so I think Juju has to have his price. That price can't be extremely high. And I think he also gets a contract that's pretty incentive-laden. And then if you reach these incentives, now you get your money. You say, look, it's here is what your base salary is. If you're as good as you've always been, this is the amount of money you get. If you exceed that level of play, then here's what's added on to it. So we can make you rich, but more importantly, you can make yourself rich.
Ryan, what do you think the best play is for them at quarterback? If you're saying there's no Joe Burrow in the draft, not high on on Haskins or Mason, like what do you think is the best way for them to proceed?
I mean, if you can get a, and I don't know, you know, who's going to be on the market, a good veteran that has started football games in this league for the right price, for the right value, then I believe that's something you at least attempt to do. I think the hardest part is, like, those guys who can be starters and win football games don't become available often. You know, and so now you're stuck trying to figure out, okay, what's our next move? What's our best play? I don't necessarily mind drafting a rookie, but you have to draft that rookie with expectations. You have to draft that rookie with the understanding of how we have to run offense. I think the ascension of Joe Jones makes you a little more comfortable with a guy like Kenny Pickett, who started to excel late in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And you think maybe that maturation process and then now becoming the man and playing as well as he did can lead to good play in the NFL and league. And if you get that, you know, you won. So I'm not saying that none of these guys can't be good players. I'm just saying you can't bet on them to come in the league and be the Justin Herberts and the Joe Burrows.
Ryan, can you, my wife might be listening, can you tell her that it is actually fashionable in 2022 to button the top button on a dress shirt?
Yes, I always button the top button on all my shirts.
Let's go. Now, is that something that you've always done, or did you see somebody else do it and you wanted to just ride that wave?
I just think that, like, when you have a top button on a shirt and you don't button it, it looks sloppy. You know, like, your collar may fall wrong to one side. Like, it's just nasty sometimes. And so it just makes more sense to me to button it. Like, your pants have a button on it. Would you just zip them and not button it? That's dumb.
Agreed.
I like it.
Agreed. I'm going out to a fancy dinner, and that top button will be buttoned tonight. And then if she asks any questions, I'll do that and bring it back to you.
Yeah, tell her, look at Ryan Clark on TV.
Ryan, you're the best, brother. Thank you so much, man.
My man, have a great one.
Thanks, Ryan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.